Welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am... Je suis... Mo, and this is the place to... whatever. Welcome. Today is Wednesday, the 6th of May, 2026. And welcome. How are you doing? Yes, tis May. And not dismay. No dismay here. Is joyous. Why? Because we're here together again. Yes, and already in the chat room, there's Kristen and there's Renee, and welcome to thee. Thee can be either singular or plural. I like that about that. I like that about that. And how's that? Take that. Ta-dat. Ta-dat. So I hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing very well. God, that beginning of mine is so cacophonous. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? I can change it. I can write something new, create something new. I could do that, but I'm not going to. Not for a while, anyway. There's other things I'm doing. Yes, other things I'm up to. What am I up to? Oh, I used to be about 6'2" once upon a time. That has changed. The settling of the sands. Yes, I had sand in between my vertebrae at one time. No, I didn't. No, no, no. Just mortal, mortal man. So, the world, isn't it fun? we're not going to talk about the world today. One of these days, I'll just, and talk stupidly. Because when I talk, I often do talk stupidly. There are some things I know things about. And other things I pretend to know about, and then there's a lot of stuff I know nothing about. And every now and then I'll pipe up about that, too, because that's what people do, isn't it? That's what some people do, anyway. And they get paid to do it, on TV sometimes, or in politics. Okay, so here I am. Let's see, what's happening here? I'm looking at the calendar. Nothing's happening here. Oh, gosh. I'm getting older soon. Wow. I had my lunar birthday recently, the full moon in Scorpio, in the Western system. It hasn't quite happened there yet, but it will. Next full moon and so on. Which is nice. Well, what is a full moon in Scorpio? I was born in the full on, not in. I was born on the full moon in Scorpio. 3 minutes until it went full. And my life has exemplified that. It has been all so very weird, but also very interesting, too. I'm not sure that I would be doing what I'm doing had I not been born on the full moon in Scorpio. Because it certainly has influenced me. A friend of mine was born on the full moon in Scorpio back in college. I haven't seen nor heard from him since college. He was born on the same day as I was. He was born during the day. I was born during the night. Of course, we were born on different continents. His was incontinent. Just kidding. Anyway, so... who's in the room? Oh, Pamela's in the room. Welcome, Pamela. Listening while you work, I'll try not to do anything interesting so you can keep right at it. Indeed, indeed. Welcome. Good to see you. What am I talking about? Chat room. That's what I'm talking about. It's a YouTube chat room, which I think is awfully handy and terribly nice. You can easily manifest yourself into it, transmutate or transmigrate, or not transmigrate, that's something completely different, transubstantiate yourself into it. I'm sorry, those of you who are believers, easily by going to YouTube at Moabdelbaki, Moabdelbaki. Yes. There are people who say, oh, you shouldn't use your real name. I'm thinking, well, I'm too old. It's too late. I did it. I didn't know about all the caveats. Yeah. Caveats on crackers. Very good. You know, with some onion. Yeah. Caveats on onion and crackers. Yeah. And a little ginger ale. Maybe some beer. Oh, you need the distraction, do you? Well, I'll distract you. That's what I'm good at. I'm told I'm a constant distraction to those who know me. Just, I think the word they use is annoyance. Annoyance. Not anointance. Not that. Annoyance. So today, I'll just get right into it, or more or less. I'm going to be discussing the concept of what do you need to know to be a tarot reader? Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, there are numerous tarot sites on Facebook and, you know, those places. I joined Instagram not so long ago because my cousin, I have a cousin in Egypt that I converse with. He's a good guy, my dad's brother's son. And my dad's brother I love very, very much. And his son is very cool. I like him. And so I went to Instagram and I joined, and I've never joined before. And I can't figure out what it's about, what it's for, how to use it. But Facebook I kind of get. Facebook is festooned with ancient people like me, oldies, and, just old fogies. And so we communicate back and forth, and we thumbs up each other and like each other's posts and that sort of thing. It's kind of interesting. And, and I get that. You know, it's like, yeah, you know what? There, may the 4th be with you. A lot of that. I also, it was a bummer on the 4th because I said, in case you forgot, the 4th, May the 4th of 1970 was when the Kent State shootings happened. I still remember, and a lot of people, I remember too. That's good to, you know. It was important to us. It was very important. My generation. And, things like that are still kind of happening if you pay any bit of a pretty good bit of attention to it. It can get icy out there, if you catch my drift. Anyway, on the Facebook, there are groups like Aleister Crowley and... which is an interesting group, and other groups on magic and so on and so forth, and a lot of people who there's a tarot group and US Games group and publish a lot of tarot cards, and there on this tarot group there was a meme. I thought they were memes for a long time because they seemed so self-centered. I'm old. What are you going to do with me? You know? I know. Put me in a room somewhere. Feed me. And have people come look through the glass at me and tap on the glass. Tap, 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 tap. You know? Anyway, so, yeah, there's something wrong up here. There is something wrong. There was a of these. I think there's a starfish in SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm not sure for sure, but there was a picture of him looking very despondent, lying in bed, looking unhappy. And then the next picture was of him looking very happy and very relaxed. And the caption said under the despondent one, "Me, after reading lots of books on Tarot, and what needs to be learned in order to be a good reader." And then the other one said, "Me, after seeing," I can't remember exactly how it was put, but a learned old man on the internet who says all you have to do is let whatever it is come to your mind. And in other words, the starfish liked that, how to read the cards. And I thought there's probably a relatively good chance that person was talking about me. Because I say that a lot. I say, you don't have to. And I thought, well, if I gave that impression, which is quite possible, because I do have that sort of take on things, but if I gave that impression, I may have been misleading a little bit. And I would like to not necessarily set the record straight as much as clarify a few things about Tarot. And my own journey has been a lot of study, a lot of study. And that's not patting myself on the back, because I would throw my shoulder out, and that's unpleasant. But the truth of the matter is that Tarot, modern Tarot, and Tarot is a game. I have to say that. And I think you all know that. Tarot is, in fact, a game. Started out as a game. But Tarot for divination is very complicated sort of gadget, and that's what it is. It's a gizmo. It's a gadget. It's a contrivance designed to help people. It's not a. I mean, I've used it. I used to read at parties. There were gigs. People would hire me. I'd go to their house. I'd read endlessly, nonstop, for hours. And I mean hours and hours. And people, they'd say, "You want to read overtime?" And I'd be exhausted. So I'd name some outrageous overtime. And if they paid it, it was worth it. But they'd usually go, "You're nuts." And I'd go, "What about them?" I'm kidding. It was terrible taste. I'm sorry. It was just, and they'd say, "No, that's all right." And I'd get to go home. Because it was like, really? I mean, I read once, oh gosh, that was a New Year's Eve party. And I was I doing cards or palms? I don't remember. I was doing cards. And I got there at 4:30 in the afternoon, and I read until almost 4:00 in the morning. It was unbelievable. And the only time I got up was to go to the restroom. That was it. They fed me. I got a glass of champagne at midnight. It's the only time I've ever tasted Dom Perignon, and it was delicious. I thought, well, I understand now what the big hoop-de-doo is about, because the people were millionaires. And I was so tired, and I was wearing a turban, and I mean, they expect them in a tuxedo, and they expect all that, but oh my God, my legs were numb, and it was just like, and they fed me. I was like, they fed me. They were nice, very nice people, but man, I couldn't get out of there, and I got paid well. Doing this for a living has not always been so easy. It hasn't just always been so easy, but it didn't. So you learn on the job as well, and that's an important thing, and that's the thing I've talked about in past shows or offerings. I don't know. These are shows. I mean, it's not like it's like, oh, what a show. That sort of thing. It's about on the job training. Which is wonderful. It's wonderful. If any of you have the opportunity to do gigs, you should do them. And if you have to put on the fancy hat with the sequins, I used to have to wear sequins. I worked for a wonderful lady who overcharged her clients and paid me in pittance at times. That's all right. She charged them a lot more than she paid me. But that's, once again, I was learning. I mean, I knew how to read. It's just that I'm not a businessman. I'm a terrible businessman. Ask anyone who's ever used me for something, and they'll say, well, he's easy to fool. And that's been, that's been my life. But I'm okay with it because I love what I do. And I really do believe that doing this is a blessing. It's a blessing. And I believe in helping people. And that's what this is for. It's to help people. So I take it very seriously. And I'm the type that I want to know as much as I can about things. C.A. Brooks is a sweet person. And we're friends, and we've been friends for a very long time. And she always says that my thing is curiosity, and I'm going to agree with her on that. I am absolutely curious about stuff. First of all, is it worth pursuing? I mean, I will delve into things to see if it's worth pursuing. And I'm telling you, Tarot is worth pursuing. It's worth your time. It's worth your energy. So the question still remains, how much do you need to know? You need to know as much as you want to know in order to do what you want to do well. Okay? Now, I'm going to suggest a book to you. And that book is Aleister Crowley's Book of Thoth. It is actually taken from the Equinox. The Equinox is a 10-volume set. Okay? You don't have to have the whole Equinox. I do, just because I'm me. I rebound my first Equinox, which I got 50 years ago or so. And the reason, and so don't pay any attention, they don't look like this. I was just goofing around with bookbinding, and because I was curious about it. And I like how this came out. It didn't need to look like this, but I liked it, and so there it is. And I'm not showing it off. I have another copy, but it's somewhere, and you know how things are when they're somewhere. But this book, the first time I read this book, it was incomprehensible to me, except for about 3%. And now there's about a percent or two that I don't understand because he wrote about personal things that unless I was talking to him, you say, well, so excuse me, Mr. Crowley, would you help me with this little reference here? And he'd say, oh, that was directed to someone I wanted to make fun of, And you go, okay, I get that. Now, he did that a lot. He had a lot of personal grudges that he would settle by writing about them, or he would settle. Don't we all do that to some extent? I mean, don't we all have things that we... I think we all do that to some extent. But this book is absolutely remarkable. The Book of Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, the Egyptian god of wisdom and medicine and the moon. He's a lunar deity. He's the god, in my opinion, of the bright moon, as opposed to Anubis, whom I believe and who Anubis I'm fond of. Is a deity of the dark moon, which not many people think about or even understand that concept, but so what? Doesn't matter. Why is this such a good book? Because he explains every card to some extent and tells you things that I think are very important for every Tarot reader to know. Stuff that, for example... And if you're motivated to learn these things, for example, the four tens, and he's talking about the numbered cards. These cards are attributed to Malkuth. Well, what the heck is Malkuth? So you get on the... Now, back when I first got this deck and this book, There was no thing as the internet. I mean, it was just didn't exist. However, there was the Golden Dawn series in the Louisiana State University Library that had been introduced to me by my friend Frodo. The name was given him when he took the name. He was asked, "Do you want to take a name?" And he said, "Sure, I'll take Frodo." he was initiated a druid priest, and they asked him, and Frodo, in the old language that he was hanging out with, it means scholar, and he was more than just a scholar. He was also kind of a nut, and I liked him very, very much, but a powerful nut. You meet them all the time, don't you? Powerful nuts. Some of them are powerful and crazy, and some of them are just powerful and wise. And I loved this guy, and he loved me. We were friends. We were good friends. He left for me a staff, which is right over there, and still as pristine and beautiful as it was, except a dog got a hold of the bottom end of it. I had to wrest it away from him and sort of pulled a little bit of the bark off of the bottom. It's a crepe needle. Crepe needle, is that what they call that thing? Something like that. And it's a nice piece of wood. I'll never do anything to it other than just if I need it. So I started studying. Okay, what is this Malkuth? And it was the Tree of Life, something I had never studied before. And that was a long time ago. That was over 50 years ago. About 50 years ago. And so you say, okay, I'd been studying Tarot before that. And it was a hard row to hoe. The book that I was using was called the Tarot of the Bohemians by a fellow named Paupus, P-A-U-P-U-S. And he's French, and Gerard Ancos was his real name. And I'd read some of Eliphas Levi's work. He was French, too. And that wasn't his real name. His real name was Alphonse Louis Constant. And so I'm reading stuff that was written a long time ago, and Crowley stuff. I mean, Crowley died 7 years before I died. And it's like, okay, that's close enough, you know, close enough. He died in 47. I was born in 54-ish. I'm trying to be coy because you're not supposed to tell people anytime when you're born or anything like that. But what the heck. And so I'm old, mid-century, you know. And so he's more contemporary. And he was a class A occultist and kind of there was some con man in him. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. He had to make a living in a very strange time. Did you know he was a friend of, friend and acquaintance of Ian Fleming's, who wrote James Bond stories and so on. So you say, okay, so what is Malkuth? And you say, okay, I need to find out what that is. And so you go and you look things up and you begin to learn things. And, and you begin to read this man's words and you find that they're confounding. So you just read over that, right? Okay, here. The Ten of Cups is called satiety. Okay? Its attribution is Mars in Pisces. Well, now you're astrologers. You do some astrology work. I'm pretty confident of that. The watery sign has sunk into a stagnant dream. But in it broods and breeds that violent quality of Mars to putrefy it. As it is written, until a dart strike through his liver. Now, you think, what the hell is this man talking about? You see? And you have to think about that for a while. Now, I'm here to tell you, it took me a long time to figure out what he's talking about. But I understand it now. And there's a key to this in the Fool card. But Don't worry about that. It's not easy to find. It's not, and you have to think about it. And if my father hadn't had an issue when he was a kid, I wouldn't be able to tell you what it's about, right? But anyway, the Ten of Swords is called Ruin. It teaches the lesson which statement should have learned and have not, that if one goes on fighting long enough, all ends in destruction. Now, yet this card is not entirely without hope. The solar influence rules. Ruin can never be complete because disaster is a synthetic disease. I need to look that word up. As soon as things are bad enough, one begins to build up again, right? When all the governments have smashed each other, there still remains the peasant. At the end of Candide's misadventures, he could still cultivate his garden. And you're thinking, what is this man talking about? And the key is, you look up Candide, and you go here, and you go there. And it's an education in and of itself. And that's why he wrote it the way he did. He was a brilliant man, make no mistake. He was not the devil. That's absolute rubbish. He didn't believe in the devil. Why? Well, because he was more of an agnostic than much of anything else, in my opinion. I've read about him, and I've read his words, lots and lots of his words. He was what I would call a naturalist. He believed in natural law, and he did believe in magic. But when you read this and you read about the cards, and my ten of swords is, are we talking about the Ten of Swords here? Before I say anything else, the concept of ruin, the Ten of Cups, oh yeah, the Ten of Swords is called ruin, is that it seems bad, but the tens are all, the Ten of Swords is good. Why? Because truth is what comes out of it. And so when you read these things, when you read this book, you have to think about it, you know? You have to read about it. Here's the Two of Wands. This card pertaining to Chokmah in the suit of fire represents the will in its most exalted form. And you think about, what does that mean, Chokmah? Well, you forget about that. So what you do is you just forget about anything you don't know, right? The pictorial representation is of two Dorjes crossed. Now, they're not actually Dorjes, because you look at the picture, you say, well, a Dorje, and you look up Dorje on the internet, and you find these things that are, you know, like this. And you say, well, these are purbas. And you say, purbas, well, here's a dorja. Okay? This is a dorja. That's a dorja right there. Now, you're going to look at the card, and you're going to say, well, that's not a dorja. You know what that looks like more? It looks like a purba. Now, I've got a purba here somewhere. Here it is. Right here. Just don't want to dump everything, because I can... This is a purba. And a purba is a dagger. Now, why doesn't he call it what it is? He knows what it is. Why doesn't he call it what it is? So you think about it, and you think about it, and you say, well, why doesn't he think about it? Because they're wands. That's why. They're not swords. But what is it about those wands in particular? Well, you read about purbas, and you read about what they're about, and they're formidable wands because they're magical. They're very powerful and extremely magical. So you read up on them, you see. You do your research, and when you see them, I have found that the Two of Wands can relate to relationships when I'm doing readings, and that if you get the Two of Wands, you're looking at an equitable relationship where people are okay together. There's other things too, but you see, you think about it. The Dorje is the Tibetan symbol of the thunderbolt. That's true. The emblem of celestial power, but more in its destructive than its creative form. But what do we know about destruction? as you destroy, you also what? You create. How was life formed? What created life on our planet? What do they think? That there was a primordial ooze. And what hit that ooze? Lightning. See? So you think about it. You think about it. You think about it. For destruction may be regarded as the first step in the creative process. The virgin ovum must be broken in order to fertilize it. Fear and repulsion are therefore the primary reaction to the assault. Then, with understanding of the complete plan, willing surrender rejoices to cooperate. Man, he was just wild, you know? Six flames issue from the center. This indicates the influence of the sun, who is exalted in Aries. This is the creative will. And so you ponder that for a while. And then you'll forget it. And then one day you're doing a reading and you'll think, oh, that's right, the sun is exalted in Aries. And you'll think about the sun in Aries, and you'll be doing a reading, and suddenly you'll think, ah, someone has asked a timing question. When will this happen? Spring. Around the vernal equinox. Because the sun is exalted in Aries. And you'll be right. You'll be right on. You'll be right to the point. See, if you have a background, and the background is sound, then you let things come to you. But I do think that you have to do some work. I don't think that these cards are completely just... maybe that's not true. My cards, and I'm not trying to... I am very close, I think, to getting my cards back available for sale. And this is not a plug for my cards, although I think they're great. But the key here is that my cards are the culmination of what I know about Tarot, and I'm calling them cards, Mo's cards for life, because I'm trying to say that these cards are, for me, very easy to read, because it's what I think the cards mean, you know, because what happens is, as you use them over and over and over again, certain meanings kind of stick. You know, so you have a card. Well, this is biographical, the Fool card, where I'm streaking, because that happened. And here's the Ten of Cups, which it's a ten. I maintain that the tens, this is satiety or satiety, different spelling, but same kind of word. In this, I have ten cups. And there are two spaces left for two more. And which basically, you know, a note that says reserve or needed now and must acquire. So, when's the last time you were satisfied with everything the way it was? Has it ever really happened to you? Have you ever been completely satisfied? And that's the nature of life. Satisfaction. So being satisfied, being sated, is a temporary situation. If I were satisfied, I wouldn't have a bunch of fountain pens. I've got more than one. Let's put it that way. So I wanted my cards to reflect what I really feel about these cards. And then what still comes through are the meanings of what I've learned. So to just have a deck where you, whatever comes to your mind is what comes to your mind, I think defies the principle. So with a Lenormand deck, let's say, here, with a Lenormand deck, I like Lenormand decks. I like the Kipper deck. I like my Kipper deck, although it's incomprehensible. I think if I do open up a store on that Make Playing Cards site, I'm going to offer the Kipper deck with titles, like, you know, this and that, and this is what this is, and you know, so people can actually use it. But flowers, okay? And what good are they if you don't have a meaning to attach to it? So, and I have the little white book for this. I just think this is, you know, and the star, and then you've got, you know, but what do they mean? So you're going to find what, let's see, what is that? That's the mountain. Well, it represents an obstacle, right? Supposedly. But what does it mean to you? Well, I live in Colorado, and Colorado has lots of mountains. And I, as a kid, hated going to the mountains because I got car sick all the time. So it was no fun for me. No fun. But now I don't live near the mountains, but I can see them every day if I want to. I just, you know, don't have to do too much, and I can go out and see the mountains. I can see Pikes Peak, which is, you know, actually about 60, 70 miles away from where I live, but I can see it, and it's amazing. I love the mountains from a distance, you know, and I love to see them. There's something very powerful about, and they are powerful. There's no doubt. They're wonderful. Wonderful to look at. I have a fellow that I know who lives in Nepal, and he's been to the Himalayas, and he has seen Everest. He didn't climb it. He's, I think, a little saner than that, but he has seen K2, and you know, these are gods to a certain large group of people. I would like to see Kailash. I'm not going to see it in this lifetime. But these, so you see them, you feel them, but are they obstacles? Not if you treat them properly. So you add to the meanings, and in any particular reading, if you've done research and you have your own lifestyle, you get to feel it. But when you're in a reading, you can get the feeling of what they mean in that context. So it isn't just a matter of saying, open up, although that's a part of it too, because these are intuitive arts, right? So it's a thin line, but it's one that I think it's good to get some background. And you should be a little bit discerning about from whom you get that background. I have read a lot of terrible, in my opinion, terrible scholarship lately. And I haven't bought a tarot book in many, many, many decades. Well, not many, but many, but a few. But I read online what people have learned people say about tarot. And what they're saying is just kind of whatever they're thinking, and quite frankly, whatever they're thinking is oftentimes quite inaccurate. Attributes of cards, planets that they give to... I heard someone say the other day that the temperance card was attributed to the Hebrew letter Nun, which is a fish. And it simply is not. It's attributed to Samech. And you go, well, how do you do that? Noon is the death card. And you just say, well, what does that, how do you do that? How do you make that sort of comment and not have to deal with the fact that it's that wrong? Unless they're changing it around. Now, Crowley made some changes, that I completely wholeheartedly agree with, because they make total sense. And he says this is different, and this is why it's different. So when he makes these changes, it's like, okay, and he says this is why, and if you don't think it's right, you're wrong. I mean, that's how he was. But I completely agree with the changes he made as far as attributes. But I thought them wrong anyway. Before I read him, I said, this doesn't make sense. Why would this be this? But he said that it was done as a blind, red herring. Because at one time, people were being executed. I mean, the Inquisition was pretty rough. There are tough times when it comes to metaphysics. So I think you have to decide how good you want to be. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you'll be a better reader. Yes, I am. I am guaranteeing you'll be a better reader, because the stronger your foundation of knowledge. Now, I'm not saying you have to read the learn about Hermetic Kabbalism and alchemy and all the really nutty stuff that I got into, unless you want to. But you should have a general knowledge of some basic things. I think one of those is the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life is very simple stuff. It's a simple glyph, and not the rabbinical Judaic version, but the Hermetic Tree of Life. Simple stuff. Okay, you can find it online, and you'll see that on there are the 22 pathways of the tree, and for every pathway there is a Hebrew letter, and for every Hebrew letter there is a major arcana card. Simple stuff. You don't have to memorize it, but if you just see it and know it, it helps. It can help. For example, you see that the path from one side to the other, there's the Empress, and from Kether, which is the top of the tree, to Tipereth, which is the center of the tree, which is ruled by the sun, you'll see, oh, there's the priestess. Makes sense. You'll begin to get a feel for what Tarot is more so, and you'll become more comfortable with a lot of the ideas. You'll see that all the aces are up here at the very top, above all the action. So they become, you realize that the aces aren't promises of anything, that the aces are simply potential. Potential. They can't be anything. They're just a promise. They're not a promise, I'm sorry. They're just a potential of something. They're a dot. And that in the deuces, you have a split of something. But still, there's really nothing for sure, right? It's just kind of a, okay, it's been split in half. And in the threes, and as you look at how things are progressing, you kind of see how things move. And in the tens, you have the heaviest part of everything. I did a presentation on this, and we talked about these things. But in the tens, you have the most physical, heavy aspect of everything. And it's like this boom. And then it begins to decay automatically because it's ruled by the earth. And anytime anything becomes earthly, it immediately begins to decay because it has physical form and it's decaying. The moon rules all the nines, and eights are all ruled by Mercury, and the sevens by Venus, and it goes on and on. And you get a feel for Tarot in a very different way. And it can help you. It's not like every time you see a seven, you're thinking, okay, all Venus, all debauchery, all this, all that. No, but what you do is you realize that there's emotion behind all the sevens. And the fives are all ruled by Mars, so there's a stress behind all the fives because of Mars. It's knowledge. Knowledge. And we're trying to help people. We're not trying to say, look how smart I am. I can read Tarot. No, you're trying to give them guidance. You're not trying to impress people at a party. You're not trying to do that. You will. You certainly will. You will absolutely blow people away if you take the time to do this. But that's not why you're there. You know? There was a guy once, he was famous in this town. And I did an event for his wife. And after, he called me Swammy. Swammy. And he was a big deal around these here parts. And he said, Swammy, I don't know how you do what you do, but word is you're really, really good. I got a few questions to ask you. And I answered his questions, you know. And he said, okay, yeah, you're really good at what you do. He said, I don't believe there's anything supernatural about you. And I said, neither do I. He said, you don't? I said, no, there's nothing supernatural. Everything is natural. I just do what I do, you know. He said, well, you got me stumped. And I thought, there's nothing to stump, you know. There's nothing to stump. It's a process. It's a process of education. It's a process of hard work. And that's the beauty of it. It's fun. There's so much that we gain from this. There's so much joy, so much wonder. This world of metaphysics, this world of what we do, it doesn't hurt anybody in that it is beautiful stuff, and it does help. I mean, I've done thousands of readings, I'm sure, and it is a lovely way to help. Maybe I haven't done thousands, but I've done a lot. It's been a long time. I remember back when I was starting, you know, it was, right, Renee, it's all natural. I don't believe in the supernatural. I've seen a ghost, and there was nothing supernatural about it. It just was something we don't understand yet. You know, we just don't have a clue as to what is really there. It is fascinating. Yeah, Pamela, it's absolutely fascinating. And it's beautiful. You know, and eventually you get to the point where you don't even question. You just do it. You do it, and you're able to make a difference in people's lives. I never wanted to charge for doing readings. I just wanted to do them. But you realize that it's, okay, I can do them living in a shopping cart, you know, or I can live indoors and you know, make a living. And you realize you have to do that. But I disagree with the concept that you just allow things to come to mind unless you understand the cards. Because then what will come is, it's like an 8-ball. I have an 8-ball over there that doesn't work anymore, because eventually what happens is the liquid evaporates, even though they're supposed to be real well sealed, and they don't work anymore. But when you've got an 8-ball, it's an icosahedron, which is a polyhedron made out of 20 sides, and they're triangles. And so there are only 20 specific answers that you can have in a magic 8-ball. You're not going to shake it and it's going to say, hey, happy birthday. Happy birthday. It's not going to say that. You know, it's going to say very likely, or chances point to no. You know, it's not, there's only so many things you can have. And that's what you want to have. Is and of course you can have variations on the theme, but you want your answers to be germane. You don't want them to be ask this person if they like Shemp Howard of the Three Stooges. That's not going to help anybody. You know what I'm saying? That's a little wild. Well, thank you. Thank you, Renee. That's very nice of you. She said, please like, share, and subscribe. That's very kind of you. I always forget that. Pamela says, some people I know think that it's a sin to charge for readings. Not me. Good. I know they don't do it for a living. Maybe they have another job. The people who think that it's a sin to do to charge for it, you know, that's unfortunate because they don't have to rely upon it for a living. You know, I had a fellow that was a client of mine. Actually, it was a student of mine as well as a client. I taught him to row, amongst a couple other things, and he was a priest. And I think he's still a priest. I won't go any further. But he was put up in a church. They paid for his room and board, you know. Hello, Quelly. Good to see you. Blessings to you, too. I've known priests a lot over the years. And they get paid for what they do. They get, you know, they may, I don't think they get a salary necessarily. I like that word. It's a crunchy word, but you need it. They do a job. It's beneficial for the community if it's, they're good people. It's like cops. Should they get paid for what they do? It's a dangerous job. Shouldn't they just want to do it? You see what I'm saying? We pay them. Professors. My dad was a college professor. He loved what he did. It was a calling for him. He was a brilliant professor. Got voted most distinguished professor in the vet school 8 years in a row until he finally said, stop. Don't do this anymore. Because it was embarrassing to him. It was his calling. And they didn't pay him much because, oh, there was red tape because it was foreign and so on and so forth. But that was racism, or not racism, just bigotry, I think. It was a little different story. He took care of that. He moved. And they lost a good man. And he took grants with him. So, what do we do? Well, we learn. And if it isn't fun, don't learn it. Just do what you do. Do what you need to do. I never meant to imply that you don't need to put some energy into the work of reading, because it really is, in my opinion, important. There are some people who are just, I've known shut-eye psychics. I think we all have. Here's what I'm getting. And there are people who are very talented that way. But that's not me. That's not me. And I'm not saying they don't exist and they're not good. I've known them. I've known some who were stunningly good at what they did. But that's not me. I like the history. I was a historian in college. I was a history major. I wanted to be a historian. Things, life did not point me in that direction. My lodestone pulled me elsewhere. And I'm glad it did. Okay, I'm almost out of time. So we have books and we have people. And if you trust the people that you listen to, you may trust me, you may not. I try and do the best I can. And I talk about things that interest me, and I hope they interest you. If you have topics you would like to cover, leave a comment right here, and I will find it, and I will consider talking about it, okay? I mean, it's just that simple. If there's something you'd like me to talk about, I'll be happy to discuss it if I think it's something that I can and should talk about. Because I'm doing this for you. I mean, I know it, or I don't. But I'm always looking for stuff that I think is worth discussing. Okay? You have a glorious week too, Pamela, and all of you listening. And I do this because I love it. I really do. Okay? All right. Stay safe. The world is just about as weird as it can be. It can always get weirder. Well, thank you. Thank you, Renee, very much. And until next week, I wish you all peace, and I wish you all love. And I do love you all, and that's just the doggone truth. Okay, and I'll talk to you.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3.